Die Brücke. A podcast cooperation between Sam Edin and Migration macht Gesellschaft. Bridging the gap.
Ever wondered what it feels like to walk in the shoes of a foreigner in Germany, where no amount of internet articles can actually prepare you for the whirlwind of cultural shocks or the depth of despair of rejections and the elation you feel when you have a breakthrough? Well, it's one of the things we're trying to see how we could bring it all together. So I would say, first and foremost, welcome to the Brücke, where our mission is to bridge the gap between cultural differences. And my name is Sam Edin, and I'm a host on this show. And today I have Abbasin, the guy who I think is actually from a bougie part of München, but he's going to tell me a bit about himself now. So Abbasin, welcome to the Brücke. What do you have for us? I just want you to just tell me about your journey, how you got to Germany.
My name is Abbasin. I come from Afghanistan. I came here in 2021, July, and I came here for my master's program back home. Actually, I didn't have any plans like prepared to come to Germany. It actually happened all of a sudden when my friend told me like, hey, we are planning to study abroad if I'm up for it. And I said, okay, where? They said like Germany is a good idea. And I said, all right, let's do it. And I searched online about the programs, the universities and stuff. But there was one program that caught my eyes and I applied for it. My background is in management. I studied my bachelor's in business administration and management.
You look like the management guy.
Thank you. Not quite, but still. And then I found this program, Masters in International Management and Sustainability, which the medium of instruction was English, which was good because I told you the decision to come to Germany was taken all of a sudden and I was not prepared. So naturally, I didn't know anything about German language. And at those times, it was a pandemic, Corona pandemic, and the institutions and all of these were closed. So I decided, okay, I'm going for this program. And I started applying for this. And fortunately, I got accepted. I got my admission and then I applied for the visa. And luckily, I had less hope to get the visa, but it happened. It happened. And in a matter of 1.5 months, I received my visa and booked a flight and came here to Germany.
Yeah,
it was quite nice.
I think we have kind of similar experience. But just to give context, I also came here for my master's. Almost 7 years ago, did master's in research in teaching and learning. And I'm from Nigeria. And my journey to Germany was almost similar to yours. And for me, I finished my bachelor's in psychology. And the reason I decided to come to Germany was just basically I wanted to just have a better life, you know. But when I mean better life, back home, I'm from a middle-class family. So I was well-to-do, you know. I didn't have any struggles. I had all the basic things of life that I needed, but my motivation or what got me thinking most of the time was I worked in an international school where only the richy rich people go to that school. Not just rich, you have to be richy rich.
Wow.
When I mean richy rich, like it's a school where when your child is accepted, the acceptance fee back then, as at 7 years ago, or 8 years ago, was $10,000 non-refundable. So this is not a tuition. This is just, we've accepted your child, $10,000 non-refundable before we start talking. So I saw how the life was and things like that. But being a bit exposed, and I started seeing that things which you had to be super rich to afford was how the basic things of life were supposed to be, you know, having food, electricity, and all that. So my journey was just that I didn't want to live in a country where having the basics was a luxury.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I started putting things together about coming to Germany. But in the quest of coming to Germany, from my perspective, doing the research for the studying and raising the funds to come to Germany, that was, I thought that was the hardest part. But the hardest part for me was landing in Germany. Because I landed in Germany and I was at the airport. I didn't understand anything. I didn't know anyone. I had no family. I didn't understand the language. And on paper, I did all the readings of how I was going to get into Germany, what the steps are going to be and how to integrate. But the reality of being in Germany was the hardest part. Trying to even navigate through the daily life because I didn't speak any German. Mm-hmm. Literally, the person that picked me up from the airport was a total stranger. I never knew him from Adam. I knew him 2 weeks before coming. So from your angle, you've been in Germany. What was one of the funny days you had in Germany? What's one of those days where you got shocked? Like, it was a cultural shock. Like, it's something, no matter how many movies you've watched, it didn't prepare you for that event.
Well, yeah, the one I remember, the day my residence permit expired and I had to renew it. So I wrote an email to this foreign office, actually in Aschaffenburg, in another city. So they replied and they told me like, okay, you can come, but they called me. And when they called me, the person started speaking German and my German was not good. Actually, I knew like why he called me, but no German. I couldn't speak. And then like I told him like, would it be okay if he spoke English to me? And he's in German said, nein, no. I said, okay, this is Foreign Office. And Foreign Office.
You deal with foreigners, not, right? You should be dealing with foreigners.
Actually, a sentence or two would be nice. And I didn't expect that somebody who works in a foreign office would not be able to speak German English at all and only speak German with me. So he told me, like, how did I manage to write an email to him in German? And I told him, like, Google Translate. And he said, just come to the office. Just come to the office.
Did he say that in English or in German?
In German. I understood a little bit, like, komm bitte. I said, okay. And then, because normally my friend would come with me, but that day I went alone. And even when I went to the office, he didn't speak English with me at all. And then he just asked for my passport, Reisepass, and I gave him my passport and he wrote me like Fiktionbescheinigung, and my questions remained
unanswered,
and it came.
Yeah, well,
like, that was a crazy day.
The funny thing is, I actually thought like most of the people I met that work in the foreign office, they do speak English, but I think sometimes from my experience, sometimes some people are insecure with the amount of English they know and they feel it's not good enough. The same way sometimes I say, oh, my German is not good enough. But when I speak a bit, a German person will be like, oh, no, you're trying. Yeah. So sometimes I've had that kind of experience where they say, they don't speak any English. But after a while, you find out, but you speak English. But I think it's somehow the insecurity. And just moving forward, like you talking about the funny story, one of the funny stories that happened to me coming in Germany was, I would call this one of the biggest cultural shock I had, was I came super late for school. School resumed in September and I came in December. And getting here in the cold, first of all, the cold just hit me bad. Like, I'm coming from Nigeria where it's 30 degrees and I came December to Germany. So the winter was just on a different level, one. Then secondly, because of the day savings, you know, we have longer nights. So I'm coming from Nigeria where naturally by 9, like by 7, it's dark already. Yeah. So I was here in Germany and like by 5, it was dark. Psychologically in my head, it was time to sleep.
Whoa.
So sometimes I go to bed, like I'm just lying down this day and I sleep up and I wake up and I think it's morning and I check it's past 9. Like, I was just struggling with the night. And I was living in Freising. I didn't know anyone. I didn't have any family. it was tough that week, like the first few days. But going to the university, this is a funny story. And man, it's also written somewhere, like I wrote it on a blog. I went to school and meeting my classmates for the first time. And they were all nice because I came late and they were all showing me around and stuff. And we finished one or two classes. And next thing, one of the girls in my class said, "Oh, Sam, let's go for lunch." Wow. I'm like, "Let's go for lunch." I'm like, yeah, let's go. Like in my head, let's go okay. for lunch. Cool. And we went somewhere close to the university and we finished having lunch. And next thing, the waiter comes with a bill. Those are the first German words I learned. Mm-hmm. And the waiter said, "Getrennt oder zusammen?" And she said, "Getrennt." I said, "What does getrennt mean?" And she said, "He's asking if we want to pay together or separately." And she said, I told him separately. Bro, the shock that went through my system. And why was I shocked? Was because in Nigeria, when someone tells you, "Let's go for lunch," it means bills on me.
Yeah.
It's unspoken. Like in Nigeria, most part of West Africa, someone just says, "Abassin, let's go for lunch." It means, wow, free food. Free like, food, yeah. This guy's going to take care of my bills. So I went to that restaurant with the same notion of, wow, free food.
Free food. And, yeah.
And I got there, they said, "Getrennt." And they brought the bill, like almost 15 or 20 euros. And I came from Nigeria and I had to come with a blocked account of almost 10,000 euros
yeah.
to have in the account. And at that first few weeks, I was converting every euro back to my local currency. And I was like,
man,
20 euros. This is almost like 10,000 naira in my country. Like, and I'm just eating one. Like, I was just pissed off. I was just angry. But that was one of the first cultural shock that I had understanding that in Germany, when someone tells you, "Let's go for lunch," or "Let's go for drinks," please, please, and please hold your money.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it means. Yeah. And you see, because from my own country, we already know it means I'll pay.
Yeah.
But in Germany, it means you got to hold your money.
Yeah.
That was just one of those funny things there. But now I just want us to be able to touch into something a bit different. You're from Afghanistan.
Yes.
I'm from Nigeria. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I got the feeling of just because of where I am from. In fact, literally, I didn't know I was black until I got to Germany.
Uh-huh.
I just knew there were people. And now when I got to Germany and I meet certain people, at first I didn't understand how it worked. And someone would just ask me, "What are you doing in Germany?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm doing my master's." And one of the times, it was a student party and I think some people were a bit drunk and the guy asked me, "How did I come to Germany?" And I'm like, "Lufthansa?" And later on, I got to understand that there were a lot of people coming as refugees and there was the prejudice that, probably I came as an asylum seeker. But the funny thing about it is, me thinking back, I had the opportunity to come as a student. And I look back, I think there are a lot of people that are in Germany that actually came here as asylum seekers, but not because they chose to.
Yeah.
In a sense of like, it's not like they had it all rosy where they're from and they decided, you know what,
uh-huh.
I just want to leave. I face that kind of stereotype sometimes. And I'm just trying to imagine how someone would actually left a country where things were horrible, maybe in Syria, in other countries where there are war, and you migrate and you get here and you actually think you're now in a safe space
mm-hmm.
and you're now facing that kind of discrimination. I don't know if you ever had any experience of sorts.
Yeah, multiple times actually. Yeah, one time there was a lady in a party, but she was an outsider. It was a party in our student dorm, but she came, she was an outsider. She heard music. It was outside party in the garden and stuff. So we got to meet and she asked me how did I come? And she told me first of all, where do I come from? And I told her that I come from Afghanistan. And she asked me the perception of people, like from her perspective or her idea of people who come from Afghanistan, is mostly that they come by boats, because she was from Italy. And she was wondering if I was one of those people, like asylum seeker. And I said, no. I came here as a student, and I came by a plane, and I'm not an asylum seeker. So yeah, people have different ideas in the back of their minds about people who come from our parts of the world, Africa, Afghanistan, Syria and stuff. Yeah, these things exist, but I guess we shouldn't not be so much concerned about these things. We should just live our normal lives. And
honestly, it's quite easy to say live a normal life, because
you'll get used to it. I mean,
you can't. It's not something you should get used to. And I think it's one of the reasons why we're having this podcast. And that's why we said the Bruke, Bridging the Gap. And just for everyone out there, the Bruke is in collaboration with Migration Markt Gesellschaft. And Migration Markt Gesellschaft actually believes that society is formed as a result of the immigrants, of the different people. So basically, I wouldn't want to say we should get used to it, because how do I put this?
I mean, by what I said is like, this thinking of what other people think about us shouldn't hinder our progress.
Yeah,
of course, the these things should be eliminated, and people should have an open mind for people. But it would be nice that people don't think like that. But
I do understand what you're saying. But yeah. Like we said, the whole reason of having this platform, or we're talking about these things, is to actually just educate people.
Yeah.
Because sometimes some people do it unconsciously.
Yeah.
And when I'm even saying some people, it doesn't necessarily just mean being Germans or Europeans. Even people from Nigeria or places that I've come from, somehow unconsciously we do it, because I came as a student and I come from a background that was, I would say, like middle class. So I had the opportunity to come on a different platform. But there are other people who had different realities.
Uh-huh.
There are other people who've been here for circumstances that are just too brutal to talk about. So they're actually here to get a better life. So sometimes even myself, like we just hear it and it's somehow in the subconscious, and you first of all think, oh, an asylum seeker or something. But I'm just saying, if there's the consciousness to understand that, the process of you trying to have a better life, it's no different from a regular person who has, for example, you work in a company and you don't like how your company is. You don't like the job, the way things are run. Maybe it's toxic and all. You want to change jobs and you want to go somewhere else. All you're trying to do is to move and change and go to somewhere where you have a better life. You might be in a relationship that might be toxic or not helpful. You just want to move and go to a better space.
Yeah.
The only difference is perspective. You were thinking of your change as just you changing a job. But the reason is because you want to have a better life. You want to be in a better space. You want to have a better mental health. Mm-hmm. It's the same way someone who is coming, who is seeking asylum, is only trying to be in a better space. You know, and no one chose to come from where it's a war-torn area. No one has actually chosen to come from maybe emotional abuse, sexual abuse, or where there's discrimination. But we do not choose where we're born, but we're only just trying to choose where we're going to move to. And like I said, with Migration Markt Gesellschaft, they have different platforms that help people out with understanding your basic legal rights. Like, if you know people who actually are here and want to understand some of their basic fundamental rights, you could look up Migration Markt Gesellschaft. They do a lot of programs and they could be really helpful, even with language classes, because my German was horrible. I didn't know anything German. So it's actually the reason why we're having the podcast, like I've said, and we just want to bridge the gap.
Yeah.
Because once I can understand you better and you understand me better, we were able to communicate better. We're yeah. able to be more, we have more empathy and understand each other better. So that's what we aim to do and talk about on the podcast, and hopefully would have other people that would give us different perspective. Yeah.
Yeah.
But for the language part, how has the language been for you? What's been your language journey?
Oh, language part is, I guess, one of the most difficult parts, at least for me, because it's really different.
All right, but German is quite easy to speak.
Not with the articles.
Are you sure? Bayerisch is... I think German is one of the easiest language.
Yeah. I agree.
I'm telling you, no. It's just die, der, das.
And dative, accusative, genitive.
German, quite easy. Oh. Yeah. How long did it take you? Or are you now a perfect German speaker?
No. I was like, I've been here for almost two years, and I basically feel really uncomfortable speaking. Maybe because I don't have enough confidence, and also it's a difficult language. I understand. The good thing is I understand a normal conversation. I can read some German texts. I can understand a little bit, but when it comes to speaking, I find cold feet sometimes, and I cannot feel the confidence. Or sometimes I speak, but later when I think about what I said, okay, this does not make any sense grammatically. What did you say? And I wonder,
was
okay,
hast du gesagt?
What? Oh yeah. And I mess up the articles like a lot.
Yeah, we all mix it up. It's not a big deal. It's part of the learning process. I'm here almost 7 years and I'm not perfect. So
yeah.
But have you had any opportunities in terms of, are there platforms where you've been able to learn German, like provided, for example, by the state? If, for example, you know someone coming to Germany newly,
yeah,
you would say, when you come to Germany, we have A, B, and C where you can learn German for free, where they support such integration into the system. Because what I found out was the hardest thing living in Germany is information.
Uh-huh.
You know, what I spent maybe 3 years finding is something I could have learned in 20 minutes if I knew the right person.
Yeah.
So has there been anything that's helped you in terms of your language journey?
Yes. Actually, first of all, university provided some courses for us. And at that time, most of them were online because of the pandemic. So I used some of them. But also, if somebody comes to Germany, I guess there is Deutsche Welle Learn German platform. I think it's quite nice. I find it very useful because I studied in local institutes here. And I have checked all the lessons, for example, for A1 level, like what's included grammatically and vocabulary and conversation. Actually, it is included in Deutsche Welle Learn German course, and particularly the one that I use is Nico's Weg.
I actually know Nico's Weg is a very interesting show.
Yeah.
And for people listening at home, like if you're new in Germany or actually planning to move to Germany and you want to start up something learning about German. Nico's Weg, like you said, if you go online and you check Nico's Weg from Deutsche Welle, it's a movie.
Yes, it's a movie, but the good part about it is in the platform or in the application that you download, you can download it on your handy or in your computer, and also you open it on your browser. The good thing is the exercise it has. Like every lesson has a theme. In that theme, you just work. It's not boring. You watch a video like for 2 minutes or 1.5 minute conversation, and after that you just open the exercises. You do the exercises along the way. They familiarize you with the grammatical terms and also with the vocabulary, and by the end of this lesson you have all the grammar you studied along with the glossary of the vocabulary, which is nice. And it's the good thing about it, it's really engaging, and when you do the exercises, you actually remember what you studied, and it's also not boring. So
What I enjoyed about Nico's Veg was the way the episodes are written in the movie. It's actually with A1 vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
So you can actually follow the movie in German because they've acted a movie that is connected to the book, the textbook, with the grammatic and the structure, and it's all free. It's online, free. Deutsche Welt. You can watch the movie, you can have the classes and learn at your own speed. So if you come into Germany, I would advise if you could get some of these materials and get a head start, because honestly, the hardest thing you would face is the language barrier. You could get by with English, but naturally, with everywhere you go, like I believe if I come to Afghanistan and I can speak the local language, I can integrate faster.
Yes, that's true.
So it's always better if you have a head start. And Nico's Veg, I think there are also platforms like Caritas and there are other platforms here in Germany. But along the line, when I get more information, I would drop it on subsequent episodes on how to help new people integrate into Germany in terms of language and maybe some platforms where you could meet. I know we have some platforms where people do language exchange,
mm-hmm.
where people just meet up and have conversations. So you do a bit of theory and they have evening classes where you're just there to drink a beer and have conversations to build your language. So have you been fortunate to meet Nico from Nico's Veg?
Yes. I actually met him in Augsburg.
In Augsburg?
In Augsburg, yeah. We were in an...
Serious?
Yeah, excursion.
Is it the Nico from the movie or a different Nico?
Nico from the movie.
I always knew you were bougie. I always knew you... How do you know all the celebrities?
Well, it happened to meet him, you know.
Happened?
I was, yes.
Or you have someone that just introduced you to these people?
No,
the celebrities?
No, he introduced himself to me, of course.
Abbasin, so how can I meet Nico also?
you can find him online. His name is Florian.
So you met him in Augsburg?
Augsburg, yes.
Accidentally or?
Accidentally. Actually, we were on an excursion with Migration Machtgesellschaft. So we were exploring Augsburg. So he was there. And I called him by his name, Nico, movie name, like, Nico, hey. And he turned around and said, like, oh, hi. And he was, like, really nice, actually. And we started talking, and he introduced himself, and he told me, like, my name is not Nico, my name is Florian.
But he answered when he said Nico.
Yeah. He turned around and said hi. And then I told him about myself, and he told me, like, he had never visited Augsburg and he wanted to visit it.
Where was he coming from?
Köln, I think.
Ah, cool.
And he dropped out of the train just to see Augsburg. And I asked him if he was okay to take a picture with me, and he did. Very nice of him.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Was it nice for him or nice for you also? Because I know he, like, you also, you're a celebrity, but you're keeping it on the wrap.
No, nice of him. Actually, but nice. Yes.
Man, I feel jealous now. I watched Nico's whole series and I haven't stumbled out to him. You've been here 2 years and you met Nico. Yeah. I've been here almost 7 years. I haven't met Nico.
Well, actually.
This is unfair.
Luck.
This is not luck. Like Migration Mark Gesellschaft hooked you up with the celebrities. And
I thank them for giving me this opportunity.
So you see people, listeners, I'm telling you, if you want to get the right connections and the right celebrities, look up Abbasin on Instagram and follow Migration Mark Gesellschaft for excursions like this to Augsburg and other places. And this way, with these excursions, you get to learn more about the city and learn about the tradition and culture of Deutschland.
Yes, absolutely.
Abbasin, it's been really insightful. And from my perspective, it's been nice having you on the show. And we have a lot to talk about. But this is just the first episode of Die Brücke. And like I said, it's in collaboration with Migration Mark Gesellschaft. And we'll be coming up with subsequent episodes talking about much more pressing needs and other things that could affect other people and how we can make life easier for someone else. So if you're out there, if you have any information or if you have any topic you feel you want to talk about or you want us to touch about, you can send it to us. You can just check Migration Magesellschaft online on Instagram. You could also send them a DM if you have any topics, any concern, anything you want to know about integrating into Germany from a foreigner's perspective. Feel free to reach out across to us, and hopefully we'll see you on the next episode. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.